I'm Sir David Attaboy, and this is Life in the Yard. While some say that wildlife ends at the walkway with an occasional snail or slug, we find it extends further, even into the drive. As we examine what appears to be a lifeless vehicle, we find that inside is a war between the granddaddy longlegs and the black widows.
All right, you lollygagging ladies, put a web under the driver's seat and get ready to march. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Yet at the other end of the dirt and leaf-covered vehicle, we find the granddaddy longlegs building their own encampment.
Don't just sit there quivering in your webs like someone's grandpa. Let's get some dead flies up to mark our border and some scouts over the headrest.
You can help send the troops home by donating that car, running or not, to KFCF. Send the troops home, or you can let entropy win. Call 877-411-DONATE. That's 877-411-3662.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Hi, I'm Bill Maher from HBO's Real Time, and you're listening to that Pinko commie radio station KFCF in Fresno.
Hi, this is Tina Baskins with the Sleeping Bag Project. This year has been a tough year for the homeless on the streets of Fresno, with the city of Fresno confiscating many of their worldly goods. And now the weather is getting cold, wet, and foggy. You can make a donation of blankets, tarps, or sleeping bags, or a cash donation to help them out. Drop-off locations include KFCF, 1449 North Wishon in Fresno, and Wesley Methodist Church, or you can visit sleepingbagproject.org to make a donation or for more information. Thanks for your generous support.
Hey Fresno, what time is it?
It's time to stir it up!
Welcome to Stir It Up, a weekly program produced by a collective of local activist organizations in Fresno. Please join us as we educate, agitate, and pontificate. Stir it up.
Good afternoon and welcome to Stir It Up. I'm your host, Pam Whalen. You're listening to KFCF Fresno 88.1. And want to let folks know there's a couple fundraisers coming up for KFCF in the next couple weeks. There's going to be an event and a book signing of the book The Lettuce Wars, and that's going to be on Sunday, January 12th. It's going to be at 4 p.m. at RT Americas at 1630 North Van Ness, downtown Fresno, and that talks about, of course, the unionization effort of the folks in the Salinas Valley. I actually have a small cameo part in there, so it's some interesting history of the early 1970s written by Bruce Neuenberger. Also, we have coming up, there's going to be an event for the Project Censored, and that's going to be on Sunday, January 26th at 2 p.m. at the San Joaquin College of Law at 901 5th Street in Clovis, and they, of course, talk about the news that we don't get from the corporate media, and they are put out a book every year to let us know about all those really important stories that the corporate media did not cover. But today we're going to be talking about some very important effort that's going on in Fresno to get more progressive, more democratically responsible people elected to our local offices. And joining us is Michael Evans. Welcome, Michael.
Good afternoon.
And Michael's the chair of the Fresno County Democratic Central Committee, and you've been working with a number of folks in Fresno to have an event and also to have a strategy to help progressives win elections next year. Tell us about that.
That's right. Well, it's called the Fresno Partnership, and we will be hosting a candidate forum for city council candidates in districts 1 and 7 on January 25th at Fresno City College. And we can come back to that in a minute. But the Fresno Partnership itself is an outgrowth of what's called SNOPAC. It's the Sierra Nevada Organizing Political Action Committee. And that's a group of individuals who decided they wanted to bring together labor, folks from labor and from environmental groups in the Central Valley and the mountain areas in California, so that we could start to put together a coalition to get progressive folks elected in these heretofore red areas. And so Fresno is sort of the first base, the trial for this program, and that's going to take place in the 2014 elections, primarily focused around Board of Supervisors races and city council races in Fresno County. Now, this conveniently came about as we had already seen a group develop out of the Jim Hightower visit, which had was the Progressive Network. So a lot of those groups have gotten involved with the Fresno Partnership. So it moved beyond the initial collaboration of labor and environmentalists to involve various political entities, community organizations, and the idea is to get everyone working together on the areas in which they have agreement. And we feel that most of the groups probably agree with each other 70 to 90% of the time, so it doesn't make a lot of sense to spend all of our time arguing about what we disagree on. And then also by being in the same room and already having communications ongoing when in those areas where we do disagree, there can be a better understanding of what the differences are and how we can find achievable solutions.
And understand that the SNOPEC itself already has sort of somewhat of an impressive track record in some of the counties north of here, right?
Right. Less so on a county-wide basis, but they have worked with some individual races in, I believe it's Calaveras County, extremely successful effort there of getting a progressive elected in a hugely Republican and conservative district, and it was re-elected and re-elected in that district.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then I think there was some in San Joaquin County too, in Stockton,
yes. Mm-hmm.
in the Stockton area. So this there's also the whole history last year that we had with some of these same actors, right? Same organizations. Somewhat spontaneously coalescing around the Measure G, right?
Well, clearly we've been moving toward this for a long time. I mean, there was the outgrowth of the Jim Hightower visit. There was the group that came together in support of Prop 30 and in opposition to Prop 32. And then that group kind of continued into the opposition to Measure G in 2013. So I think this is just a logical progression from what was already in place, but to get this methodology that somebody else has already developed without us having to create it from scratch is really positive.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and so could you explain what is the methodology?
Well, first is to get everybody in the same room so that they're communicating with each other, that we can try and coalesce behind single candidates. You know, now of course many of the member organizations will have separate endorsement processes, but the idea here is to try to have as much of a consensus as possible around the candidates who are going to benefit us once they're in office.
So anyway, people are in the room. What are they doing in that room?
Well, the goal here is we want to be doing successful things for our community that are benefiting everyone in the community. The current power structure very clearly in the city, it primarily advocates for developers, for people that live in North Fresno. At the county level, it's developers and farmers and people that live in North Fresno and Clovis. And there's a lot more people in the community than those who are being represented by those currently in power. So by organizing collectively the forces of these various entities, organizations, community groups, we can start to better represent the interests of the entire community.
So we're coming up with a list of questions to ask people, kind of figuring out what the major issues are.
So for the forums, and the first one, the one on January 25th, will be for city council candidates, mm-hmm. and there'll be one in February for Board of Supervisorial candidates. So a list of questions was developed, And each of the sort of broad sector of groups in the room brought different questions to the table. And from those questions, there will be some selected for the particular forum. Obviously, a little bit focused on the city council race or the Board of Supervisorial race, but really addressing the larger issues that we want to resolve in the community.
So let's kind of focus on the city council, because mm-hmm. that's going to be the first one
right.
that's going to be up. So what are the races that we're going to be looking at next year, and what are some of the issues at the city council that are impacting us?
Okay. Well, there's four city council races that are going to be on the ballot next year. The odd districts, 1, 3, 5, and 7. In District 3, you have Oliver Baines. In District 5, you have Sal Quintero, who by most political consultants think they're fairly safe and probably aren't going to have serious opposition. So that leaves City Council District 1, which is an open seat, having been vacated, or will be vacated by Blong Zhang, who's termed out and will be running for Board of Supervisors. There's currently five candidates that have announced that they're going to run in that race. And there's District 7, where you do have an incumbent, Clint Olivier, but he is a Republican incumbent in a heavily Democratic and a heavily Latino district. So most pundits think he's vulnerable in this election. And there's, I believe, three candidates currently vying for that seat. And all this is preliminary. By the time we get to the filing, there could be more candidates that surface, and some of the ones that are out there now may choose not to run for various reasons. In terms of issues, even though we were able to defeat Measure G, I think there's still the fear of privatization of various entities within city government. We've got to stay on top of that. There's no question about it. There's clearly the issue with the water rates. And the issue really isn't about the water rates. The issue is about our clean water and the availability of the water to the citizens in the community. There's a proposal now for the Fulton Mall, which the mayor would like to tear down. A lot of community groups have expressed opposition to that. We have to see where that's going and if there's going to be a community process involved in it.
Okay, and I want to just, we have Sandra Celadon, who is on the phone right now, and Sandra is with the Kiowa Political Action Committee, and she's also a trustee from the Kiowa Parks and Recreation. Welcome to Stir It Up, Sandra.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Are you there, Sandra? Okay, I can't really. Okay. So, Sandra, you're on the air, and we're talking about the political, what's going to happen next year in terms of the political elections that are going to be happening, and a big event that's coming up with the candidates forum for the city council races. And you were involved last year in a political campaign in Kiowa. And I think learned some valuable lessons from that. Do you want to tell us about that?
Yes, definitely. The Kiowa Political Action Committee is newly formed, as we remember the last time I was here. And we were actually working on getting elected on the Kiowa Park Board, who really represented the interest of residents and of the community. And so we launched a campaign to identify candidates and really to raise the level of awareness in Kiowa about the park district. And what that actually ended up doing for us is not only did it raise the level of awareness and it really brought community members into Kiowa Political Action Committee to be engaged in issues around the park, but it also raised the level of awareness of other political offices, county and city, and even statewide, that have an impact on issues that affect Kiowa. And so, recently the conversation has been around
elected officials in the city. You know, half of the community of Kalawa is located within city boundaries. The other half is a county island. And so it's really talking about how do city officials, how do they take the needs of Kalawa into consideration? Do they take those needs into consideration? And how can we impact, you know, the folks that are in those seats to improve the overall quality of life in Kalawa? And the race, you know, the really what has been, what the discussion that has been going on within the community is about the district attorney. And part of that came from our exposure with the district attorney in seeking the assistance of the district attorney in matters related to the park, and the type of assistance or lack of assistance that we received, the fact that, you know, the district attorney didn't seem interested in issues that are very much important to residents in Kalawa. And so we really started to talk about how do we engage with other folks outside of Kalawa that are also engaged in these local races so that we can have a positive impact and really get people that are responsive to the needs of the community. And so that's really what we're looking at now, is looking for candidates that we can support in city races and also in county races. As you know, there's a couple of seats that are up for grabs. None of them right now are directly linked to Kalawa, but we definitely see the greater picture now in the fact that we need to have representatives that think about small communities like Kalawa.
Okay, and you know, we've just been talking with Michael here, Michael Evans, the chair of the Fresno Democratic Central Committee, and talking about an overall effort, you know, where there's a coalition that's come together, the Fresno Partnership, that's uniting labor unions and environmental groups and community groups to get folks on those on the city council and on the board of supervisors, particularly this year, and also looking at the district attorney race, that would be more responsive and more representative of the community. Could you talk a little bit about, kind of in a short version, but what happened in Kalawa and what kind of response did the people of Kalawa get from city council and the board of supervisors and the DA?
Yeah, definitely. Initially, when we started the work of the Kalawa PAC, we really wanted to, you know, use it as a learning opportunity and figure out exactly how we fit in, you know, in the overall political scheme. And so we started to reach out to elected officials, our elected official, our city council representative, Sal Quintero. We reached out to Henry Perea, who's our supervisor. And then we also reached out to LASCO, the Local Agency Formation Commission, who is really tasked with overseeing special districts such as Kalawa, the Kalawa Recreation and Park District. And we reached out to the district attorney because of the fact that the park itself has been experiencing a number of issues that are really breaking the law. You know, things like not holding appropriate public meetings, not having accurate and up-to-date financial records records of meetings, and just overall mismanagement of the park. And, you know, the overwhelming response that we received both from our local elected officials and LASCO was really that they didn't have the power or authority to oversee the district. It was more of, you know, they're an independent district, they can kind of do whatever they want. And, you know, as we learned more about what laws govern recreation and park districts, we really learned that there is some oversight that needs to be in place by other government bodies, local government bodies. And what we really determined is that the political will is not there to really enforce, you know, these laws. And so we really just got pointing us in different directions. Sal Quintero, while he was supportive, there was really nothing that he felt he was able to do. The same thing with, you know, the Board of Supervisors. It was more of, you know, go talk to LASCO. And LASCO really just dragged the matter out and kept, you know, bringing it in different meetings, and eventually just ended with recommendations to the district to really get its act together. But again, there was no consequences. When we reached out to the district attorney to voice our concern about the Brown Act violations, which is a law in the state of California, and other laws that require the district to file timely financial records, the district attorney was very blunt with us in saying that they did not have the resources to focus on this low priority item, that they had to go after murderers and criminals, and that this was not something that they could allocate resources to. And so what that did, what that really did for the community is it really gave us kind of the strength to go, you know, forward and bring about our own change. And so we did that through getting two of our candidates elected to three seats that were available in this last race, and really looking at how can we influence, you know, some oversight, some citizen oversight of that specific government body. And then again, it really raised the level of awareness of the fact that we really need to engage our neighbors in other political issues, so that we, when we go to help of, you know, seek the help of our elected officials and our government bodies, that they're responsive and not, you know, that they continue to allow them to, you know, mismanage something as simple as a park. And so it really brought about more questions about if they're allowing something as a public park to continue in this manner, you know, what other things are they allowing to continue, because they don't have the political will to really serve the people. And that's really the biggest lesson that we've learned, is that right now across the board, we do not have elected officials that are willing to serve the people.
Okay, and we were just talking, Sandra, about there's going to be a candidates forum on the 25th of this month. Actually, today's the 1st, so it is this month, at City College. It's a Saturday, and it's going to be at 1:30 at City College to bring together the candidates that are running for City Council's District 1 and 7. And it's part of an effort to get a large coalition of people, a large coalition of groups that can bring a large group of people. And we were talking about the, you know, what are the issues, you know, and of course the Kalwa thing is a very specific thing, where your park was really basically left to just disintegrate because nobody cared about it there. And we were talking about the whole issues, you know, some other issues, the proposal for the Fulton Mall, to basically, you know, destroy the Fulton Mall to save it. And of course, many times we've talked on this show about the frustration of folks who've worked on homelessness issues and have tried to defend the homeless from, you know, brutal attacks by the city. So, I don't know, you know, I guess the question is, you know, after some of the experiences that we had last year, which were, we had some great victories with, and congratulations for your victory in Kalwa, and we had the victory of the no on Measure G. So I guess the idea is, where do we go from here? And we have this, candidates form that's coming up, and where do we think, what do we think people need to be doing for next year? I'll go ahead and let Michael answer that, and then I'll come back to you, Sandra.
Well, I think the candidate forum is a good first step, because we're doing it very, very early in the process. Normally, you don't get candidates forum until closer to the election. So this is going to allow people to realize very early on who has a good grasp of issues in the community and what their positions are on those issues. So that should allow us to begin to rally around the people who are responsive to community issues, so that we can be more effective in getting them elected.
Okay, Sandra, what's your thoughts for next year?
I definitely agree. I think that we've been seeing in Fresno County that there's been, you know, there's a shift in political awareness, you know, where we know that that majority of Fresnans agree with, you know, having community oversight and having elected officials who are responsive to the community in general. And so I think definitely, you know, I would agree with
Michael,
that we need to rally around candidates that that are responsive to the community. And I think for Kalawa, we saw that. We saw that it's definitely a high need to get out and talk to your neighbors and talk to your, you know, our fellow Fresnans and really get them out and engaged with candidates that they feel that, that, you know, will be responsive to them. I think the other thing that I learned is that, you know, it is the hardest work to bring people together and really put, get the miles as far as, you know, your walking shoes and getting people out. But I think that the political climate, you know, and is evident with your win, you know, with Measure G, is that people are tired of not being well represented. And so I think we have an opportunity this next year to really shift the power in our local offices.
Okay. And then beyond this, Michael, there's also going to be an event for the Board of Supervisors. Could you talk about that?
Yep. So that will be in February. Don't have the date for that yet, but we'll certainly get it to you for a subsequent program. And that will be for candidates in Board of Supervisors Districts 1 and 4. There are only two supervisorial races in 2014. In both of those cases, the incumbent, Phil Larson in District 1 and Judy Case in District 4, have announced they are not seeking re-election. There are no term limits with the Board of Supervisors, so once elected, they can stay until they're beaten or they choose to leave. And so in District 1, it's looking like there are two very strong candidates and then one probably weaker one. But in District 4, there may be as many as five candidates. So it's very important for us to see where these people stand on the various issues and see who the progressive community should get behind.
Yeah, and I was just reading the paper this morning. You know, we know that the current Board of Supervisors has sent back millions of dollars to the federal government that, in their view, the people in Fresno didn't need for health care. And I was reading them in the paper this morning that they're also trying to move to not provide health care that they have provided, I guess, forever to undocumented folks. So there's some pretty heavy issues there that are decided by those individuals.
Well, absolutely. And there's no question that our current Board of Supervisors is not looking out for the community at large. Absolutely not. And you look at this, particularly in terms of funding medical care for undocumented. I mean, if the county doesn't do it, where's it going to come from? Yeah. I mean, we have to take care of the people in our community. And we need strong leadership that's going to make that happen.
Okay, and Sandra, I'm going to give you 30 seconds to just give us your last thoughts on this.
You know, I think I just I want to say that I feel very hopeful. I know that there's a long road ahead of us as far as working, not only just for issues in Kalawa, but I think issues in general in Fresno. I mean, you mentioned the Medically Indigent Services Program and the Board of Supervisors' attempt to really decimate that program and deny basic healthcare services for the people of Fresno, not just undocumented people, but people who face numerous challenges to access mainstream care, like people who are homeless or people have mental health conditions or other barriers to really access care. And so I think, you know, interestingly enough, I was just working on an article for the Community Alliance around this issue and the hearing that happened yesterday where the county attempted to quietly deny care to people without as much as notifying, you know, interested parties and people in general in Fresno. And so I think, again, like I mentioned earlier, I think the people of Fresno are ready for a change. And I just invite everyone to really join us and, you know, visit the Kalawa PAC website, which is kalawapac.com, to know more about us and help us in our effort to improve the lives of not just people in Kalawa, but people in Fresno in general. And I look forward to working with all of my Fresno progressive neighbors.
Okay, thank you very much. Sandra Saladone, who is a trustee with the Kalawa Parks and Recreation, and thank you, Michael Evans. And real quick, the candidates forum will be January 25th at 1:30 at Fresno City College. You've been listening to KFCF Fresno 88.1, the Stir It Up Show. And we're going to go out with, I just discovered this great artist, Rodriguez, and he's featured in a film called Searching for Sugar Man. And we're going to go out with his cut, which was recorded apparently in the 1970s, but got lost to us until now. So Rodriguez, Sugar Man.
From a blue coin, won't you bring back all those colors to my dreams? Silver magic ships you carry, jumpers, coke, sweet Mary Jane. Sugar man, met a false friend on a lonely, dusty road.
Around the world, this is FSN Reports. I'm Simon Marx.